Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, to the mercy seat, and where we can bring all of our concerns and requests and challenges, circumstances to you and leave them at your feet. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you are present for us in our lives no matter what the circumstances are. Lord, as we gather here in this place, help us to leave these things before you. Help us to bring these things to you, knowing that you will take care of everything in your timing, but this is your promise that you are here for us. You will cleanse us of our sins. You will make everything right in the end. So help us to have faith in what you have promised to us. This is the hope that we have, and this is why we are here. Lord, in a moment of silent prayer for each of us, we offer these things to you right now. Lord, we are thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to die on the cross for us. Help us to be of one mind in this church, in this body that is yours. Help us to learn from being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
One, two, one, two, three, deep the Father's love.
Please be seated.
Our scripture reading comes from 1 Peter 3:13 through 17. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us together to worship you. I pray that you would clear our minds and our hearts now and let us being washed before your throne in worship and thinking about you. May we continue to receive your word this morning. Father, we also give you thanks for the country that you have given us to live in, a place that is free, and those who went well before us to make it free. And we think of our brothers and sisters in other places that are not so free. Help us to remember them and to pray for them as we celebrate our birthday on Thursday. And we just pray for that. And Father, be with Tom and, I'm missing it, Avery. Alistair, dang it, sorry, I knew that. God, you knew that. We thank you so much for Alistair as he teaches us this morning what you've shared with him about temptation. And I pray that you would give him confidence and peace and boldness. This is your word he's giving. Make him bold in your word. And thank you for the time that Tom and Alistair have invested together to make our day rich before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And
no.
Me first.
No,
yeah.
Lois
sorry.
First.
No,
I'm
Blueprint
so
first.
Sorry.
Because this is a special year. I asked Darden if I could make a pitch for a couple of aspects of Blueprint because, do y'all know this is our 10th anniversary serving Blueprint that Tom found on a Google search, and it turns out to match our needs perfectly. So we have served Blueprint for 10 years. This will be our 10th year, and that's super exciting. So there's lots of ways to serve. What it is, if you haven't already heard this, it is we are restoring homes and restoring hope. So this is not extreme home makeover, but San Antonio is high on the top 10 list of the highest percentage of poverty in the U.S. I mean, it seems hard to believe, but this is in our backyard on the top of the list in the nation for big cities, highest percentage of poverty, people with water literally dripping through their house or houses that have been unattended for a long time. So our goal is to go in and make them healthier and safer and drier, not fancy, but livable so people can continue to age in place where they are. Generational poverty, anyway, this is a fabulous fit. So who in this room has served at Blueprint in any capacity? So look around. If this is new to you, you've never done it, or you've heard about it, never done it, talk to a veteran because it is better to, you know, hear from someone who's done it. Miguel, you raised your hand. You've served in the kitchen. I didn't see your hand. That counts. Serving in the kitchen? Oh, you did. Okay. Yes. Okay. So here's the pitch. So if you want to be a camper or a chaperone, you actually stay in their campus. They have beds and cafeteria and worship every night. So if you want to stay, Christy texted me this morning. She's at a soccer tournament this weekend. The overnight slots are almost filled. So reach out to her immediately if you don't know who she is and you want to be a chaperone or a youth to participate. It may not yet still be too late. Talk to me today and I'll get you Christy's information. If you want to be a day worker, if you have skills with hammers and tools and just want to come on down to a work site, we can give you the address, but you also need to talk to Christy because there is some paperwork. We keep everybody safe. We do background checks. It's a youth thing. So talk to me about that also. Christy will also be talking to you, but there's a little less there's a lot less paperwork. But be a day worker, be a camper, adult or youth. And then the other thing I'm pitching specifically is serve in the kitchen. Who has served in the kitchen? Okay, it is easy. It's 5 to 8 p.m. right downtown. And I put up a picture of me and Mark because I wanted to point out this is a great way to celebrate a birthday. This was a couple years ago. It happens to be June 16th was Mark's birthday. That was the only day we could serve. And we had fun. Wasn't that great, honey? Yeah, it was great. Best way to celebrate a birthday. Had a whole room sing happy birthday, really. It's a joyous place to serve. You don't have to know how to cook. They give you an apron, wear a hat. But you don't have to know anything. You set the tables. You just do what you're told. You don't have to have any culinary skills, just 3 hours. So our week is July 21 to 26. It is really a blessing when our campers come back hot and sweaty, and they sit down to eat their evening meal, and who do they see in the kitchen is friendly hope faces. They've been sweating on a roof all day. Oh, I thought somebody said that. Anyway, it really is a blessing when we see hope, happy faces when we get off the roof or off the work site. That would be great. But there's actually 4 more weeks left of summer camps, and there's room, there's a need to serve any night in the kitchen. So pick a night, go down there more than once. Some people go down. I go every Wednesday, not me, but some You know, pick a night, pick a day. And the way to do that is sign up Genius. So all of this is on the church website. Or see me, or it's in the bulletin. It's a big, long, you know, type it out. It's easier to click. But I will forward it to you if you need any help with any of that. I'm really pushing the kitchen today. And that's it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Good morning. We're going to buenos dias. Buenos dias. We're going to try something new. We're going to go through buenos dias. Good. All right, everybody. Y bienvenido a Hope Church. All right. We'll work on little phrases at a time just so y'all can get that down. My name is Darden Kaler. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope Church, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about what we are doing throughout the week. Wow, Pebby, this is really short. Okay, that's all right. No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. All the things that we do throughout the week, because the life of the believer is not just about Sunday mornings, it's about what we do each and every day, 365 days a year. And so, as part of our worship, we offer these things up to God and tell you about them as well. Obviously, Blueprint is going on. If you're interested in that, you can see Christy or Tom or maybe Lois. Can they see you too if they see you first? No? Okay, don't see Lois. Oh, they can see Lois. Okay, you can go to Lois too if you just happen to run into her first. She can give you more information about that if you're interested. Also, the women's Bible study or women's study group is still going on Mondays, 6:30 p.m. here at the church. If you are interested in that, Pebby is in the way back there, and she can get you more information on that. There is a special needs camp going on in Kyrgyzstan, and Jen and Jimmy Townsend are going to serve during the entire month of July. Is that right? Last half of the month of July, and you could support them if you are interested by A, praying for them. That's always number one on the list, but also they have an Amazon list that has items that they need that they would like to take with them to this camp. So if you are interested in helping out in that way, you can see that, or you can actually touch base with Jimmy or Jen, and they can point you in the right direction. And then last but not least, we are a Presbyterian church, and what that means is we belong to a group of churches, and those groups of churches meet together, well, technically four times a year, but they meet together in their regions three times a year, and that's called a presbytery. And our presbytery is going to be meeting here in September on the 27th and the 28th. And we are going to be in need of volunteers. So if you are interested and available, that's a Friday night and a Saturday morning, and probably a Thursday night to set up and all that kind of stuff. If you are interested and available and would like to help out with that, you can. I'm going to send them to you. I'm going to send them to Lois. Touch base with Lois, and she can get you more information. Or run into Tom and I. We can tell you a little bit about it, and then we'll send you to Lois. So lastly, I should say, if you see one of these little cards in your bulletin, you have a prayer request, you can fill it out and drop it in the bucket back there. Or if you're visiting with us, we'd just love to have a little information on you to find out more about who you are. All right. With that, here's Tom.
I got something. I'm sorry.
It's not me, it's you. I've heard that before. Good morning. Welcome to Hope. I'm Pastor Tom. It's good to have you with us as we share God's word together today. Alistair, you want to make your way up here, sir? And as you're coming, I will invite all of the important people to come down to the front. If you are in fifth grade or younger, you're invited down for our children's chat at this time before you go to Hope for Kids. Good morning. Buenos dias, princesa. Princesas. ¿Cómo están? Okay. Well, good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
All right. Well, I think you're going to start out by leading us in the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Lord's Prayer. Here we go.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine, for yours.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Very good. And when I do it in Spanish, I have to read it. I don't have it memorized in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So, Oramos. ¿Listas? Ok. Vosotros, pues, orad de esta manera. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy el pan de nuestro de cada día. Y perdónanos nuestras deudas, como también nosotros hemos perdonado a nuestros deudores. Y no nos metas en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino y el poder y la gloria para siempre, jamás. Amén.
Amén.
Amén. Very good. All right, so Alistair, can you kind of break down for us the parts of the Lord's Prayer? What are the things that Jesus is teaching us to do when we pray?
So the first part, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that mainly just teaches us praise. We need to praise God. He sacrificed his son for us. And then the second part, your will be done. We need God's will to know where we're going in life, and we need to trust him with that.
Good.
And then the third one, give us this day our daily bread. This, our needs, basic, like, example, probably you need food, water.
Right. Good.
You need God.
Yes.
And then the fourth one, forgive us our debts. We need our debts to be forgiven. That's what Jesus died on the cross for us, to forgive us our sins and all the evil things in us.
Okay.
And as we have also forgiven our debtors, we need to forgive other people on how he forgave us.
Okay.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is complicated and the one I am going to be going over today.
Okay.
This, we need protection from the devil, from all his evil works. We need this so we don't fall away and stray away or steer away from God's word and what he stands for.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You want to give us an example of, praying for protection from temptation?
So an example, what would be a good example? You could just say, dear Lord, please protect me from all the evil works the devil has made. Please protect me from eating too much food, becoming overweight.
I think I just heard an amen from your mother. I'm not sure.
And you could also say, please protect me from any evildoers going in our world today. Please steer me away from those who want to corrupt my mind and my soul.
All right. And your pastor in particular needs prayer for protection from himself, mostly. Yes. So we ask God for protection. Is God strong enough to protect us?
Yes.
Yes, he is. Does he love us?
Yes.
I think he does. I think you got this. I think you get it. So, when you need protection, who do you call?
God.
How do you call God?
Pray.
You pray.
Pray.
All right. You think they get it?
Mm-hmm.
I think they get it. Sharp kids. We'll keep you. You can stick around another week. Hope Church is yours. Till next week. We'll check again. I'm just kidding. Stop with the awkward jokes. You want to close us with prayer?
Dear Lord, please nourish these children's mind. Help their teachers have the knowledge and the wisdom to guide them in the light of your path. Please just help them with all they need. Please give them the wisdom and have these children have their minds grow, their bodies grow, their souls grow, and give them your word and what you want them to have. And let them learn about what we are doing today. And in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, and your Son, amen.
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 All right, y'all have a great time in Hope for Kids. Thanks for coming up. Have a good morning. All right. So you are Alistair Barnes.
Yep, in the flesh.
In the flesh. All right. And I believe that you have prepared an opening prayer for us, kind of modeled after the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You go for it.
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy? Well, let's hear it.
Our Heavenly Father, we stand before you with hearts filled with gratitude. We thank you for the gift of your word, a guiding light in our lives. Help us to live according to your will, reflecting your love, mercy, and justice in all our actions and decisions. As we go into the depths of your word, we seek your wisdom. Empower us to apply these teachings to our lives. And as we have trespasses against us, we strive to extend that forgiveness to others, following your example of love. While in our daily struggle against sin and temptation, we seek your strength. Protect us from the enemy and guide us on the path of righteousness. May everyone in this room find joy and feel your presence in their lives. We also remember our sister church in Cuba. Keep them safe, Lord, and let your peace and love envelop them. May they feel your presence and draw strength from their faith in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. All right. So we are in a series called Pray. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer and various aspects, elements of the Lord's Prayer. Before we get into that, let's just get to know you a little bit. Mm-hmm. You are Alistair Barnes. We've already established that, in the flesh. All right. Tell us about you. What grade are you in? Where do you go to school? What do you do for fun?
So I am going into eighth grade at Bush Middle School. I play football as a running back and a safety. And when I grow up, I plan to become a professional football player in the NFL as a safety.
All right. And I like it. I mean, I don't like safeties, but I was a tight end, so yeah, I don't like safeties. They're mean. They like cut your feet out from under you right when you think you're going to truck them.
Yep.
They just take your feet out and you hit. Your first thing that hits the ground for me was my face mask when I got hit by a safety. Never fun. But I love you. So just don't take my feet out. Okay, so we were, I almost forgot. When you go to Bucky's, what's your go-to? What do you always get?
I've only been there once, but I would probably get beef jerky.
Oh, solid choice. And there's lots of choices
I
there.
Know.
It's crazy. Like, no one should have that much beef jerky in one place. That should be against the law or something. I don't know. It's crazy.
I dig it.
All right, me too. All right. So when we got into this exercise of the Lord's Prayer, we kind of broke it down into its component parts, and I asked each of you to look at what you're naturally inclined toward, what you're good at in prayer, and then what are your weaknesses in prayer. And you identified as what comes easiest to you.
Praise.
Because that one's probably the most obvious, like, and God's pretty awesome, so he's easy to praise. Okay. And then when we talked about the aspect of prayer that you find the least natural to you, where'd you land?
Temptation and protecting from evil.
Okay. Protection from temptation and evil.
Yes.
So let's just talk about that for a moment. Why does that particular aspect create difficulty for you?
So, it's hard because usually whenever I am praying by myself or with other people, I always forget that aspect because it's just not on my mind. Or whenever I do pray for it, after praying, maybe like a couple hours later, the temptation always still lurks and never goes away in my mind.
Okay. Yeah. The Bible describes temptation as a crouching lion, like waiting to pounce. And yeah, I get it. And it doesn't take me 2 hours. Usually it's more like 2 minutes or 2 seconds, and I'm back to where I started, but that's okay. So you have this ongoing sort of internal battle with temptation. I think you may be the only one in the room who deals with that. You think so? Maybe not.
Probably some people in here.
Yeah, probably all of us. Okay. So when we were talking about this, I said, okay, if you want to address temptation, we're going to have to find a passage in Scripture that kind of brings out that theme, and then we're going to study that passage as a way of sort of shoring up that aspect of the Lord's Prayer in your own prayer life. And you said...
Yeah. So around 4 or 3 months ago, I couldn't fall asleep, so I decided to go to my Bible. I was just going through it, and I found this passage from James 1.
I'm looking at you, John. That's what you do when you can't sleep. Good job.
And I found this passage, James 1, and I just used it on the daily, like I read it a couple times over.
Here's
and that helped.
Gold star for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I found it, and then when you introduced this specific thing, I was like, oh, this is perfect. I already have a passage in mind.
You did. You're the first youth in the history of Hope Church to already have the passage when I assigned this project. So congratulations. And good job reading your Bible when you couldn't sleep at night. Like, that's awesome. So the subject at hand is praying for protection from temptation.
Yes.
You found this passage in the first chapter of the book of James.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to read that to us?
Of course.
Anything about the passage we need to know before we read it?
So... this passage, James, when he wrote it, he already thinks you have everything down. You believe in Christ. You believe that he died for our sins. You have faith in him. And it just goes straight to having a Christian, a practical Christian holy life.
Okay. So it's a practical read.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take us through the book of James chapter 1. Read verses 12 through 21 for us, please.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is finally grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of his own. Will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits to his creatures. I know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Okay, very good. So this is just a passage you were already kind of ruminating on.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at it this morning specifically from the angle of what it says about resisting temptation. So if you wouldn't mind, just kind of begin to break this passage down for us. What's God trying to do in this part of his word?
In this part, he's trying to develop and maintain and teach us his will to obey.
Okay.
He is doing this by giving us these motivations, such as blessing, love, promise, life, and... by doing this, we have to endure and go through and suffer these trials to show that we truly have our faith in him and okay. that we will not be steered away And whenever we are steered away from sin, we always come back to him.
So if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your life won't have any problems.
Not exactly, because that fight has already been won, the big one.
Oh, we'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there. Don't jump ahead of me. It's a good point. Save it. But I'm just kind of joining you there. God gives us these positive motivations, his grace, his promises, his word, his love, eternal life, blessing. Mm-hmm. And then those are the things that he wants to kind of pull us through the trials of life.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And so that is the sort of beginning in verse 12, how James kind of frames this very practical laying out of following God's will and resisting temptation. Then James gives us a little bit of theology on the dynamics of temptation. Take us into how God wants us to remember how temptation works.
So temptation, it is sin. But where does the sin come from? It does not come from God. He does not tempt us.
Good.
It comes from within, and I heard this quote a couple weeks ago where it says, life comes from within you. Life does not come at you. It comes from within you.
Okay.
And that takes a long time to realize. And whenever you do sin, it just completely drags away you from God. It feels as if you are in a state away from God, but that is not truly what is happening, since he is always with you.
Good.
And then whenever you do sin, it only ever ends badly. Because, example, if you live your life separate from God, just with sin, at the end of life, you will have eternal separation from him in hell.
Okay. And so the Bible often uses these very kind of extreme contrasts of light and darkness and life and death. Mm-hmm. Because these are important truths that God wants us to engage in his word. But just to be clear, you're not saying that someone for whom Christ has died for the forgiveness of their sins, that person cannot lose their salvation. They cannot be kicked out of heaven because of their bad decisions. What we're seeing in this passage is this call toward the light, the life, the good, and away from the dark and the death that, that sin brings about.
Exactly.
Okay. And then in this passage, there's a little bit of a glimpse that James gives us of God's heart in all this for his people. Mm-hmm. You want to unpack verses 16 through 18 for us?
Yes. So you have to be clear. It says, in the passage, it says, "Do not be deceived. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven with lights, whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." This shows that he is good. He won't change. He won't go from, "Oh, I sacrificed my son, but now you guys have been doing too much bad things, so I'm going to take away that sacrifice."
Got it.
And now you're just condemned to going to hell.
Okay. And so God never changes. He doesn't have bad days.
Nope.
He's not moody. Okay. And then, so James wants clarity there. Like, don't miss this. Mm-hmm. God is good and he doesn't change. Keep going.
And he chose us, specifically us, to give his word.
Okay.
And this just shows that since he gave us our word, we are his first priority.
Okay.
We are precious to him. He loves us so much.
Good.
We are his favorite thing. Out of everything in the universe, we are his prized possession.
Cool. Well put. And then verse 18 sort of finishes up with a phrase that you wanted to elaborate on.
Mm-hmm. So I found this out with my big brother. When we were studying it, it showed that it says, of his own, he will be brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, animals, like, but in order to understand God's heart, we have to somewhat act like God, and God cares, he loves us, he shows compassion for us, which shows we have to take care of his other creations, animals, dogs, cats, horses, all those.
And maybe your people pets, too.
Mm-hmm, and other people.
And the planet. Okay. Yeah, well said. That the love and care that God shows to us, he wants us to reflect that back out to others, mm-hmm, and to the world and to his creation and to all kinds of beings.
Yes.
All right, good. And so there's that sort of theology of temptation. It doesn't come from God. And then James sort of reveals God's heart towards, mm-hmm, us. And then he wants to get our actions in alignment with God's will. Take us through verses 19 through 21, please.
So you have to get your actions in line with God's will. You have to, let's say, get on the God train.
All right.
You have to all aboard the God train. You have to keep quiet, listen, stay calm, like, believe in what God has set for you. When you're baptized, you have faith in the plan that God has for you. Complete faith, like, just let go of everything. Mm-hmm. He's the train conductor, and you're one of his passengers.
Okay.
You have to just believe in him.
Okay. So he wants us to listen, stay quiet, stay calm, be moving in his direction.
Yes.
Keep going. What else do you see there?
And whenever we don't keep calm and stay quiet and listen, we usually have anger and sin, and that just works against what God wants. It somewhat, it's like, say, a rock is on the train tracks, and then that rock is sin and anger, and then it steers it off the tracks, and then you just, okay, like, go plummeting. Let's say you're on a bridge, and you go plummeting down into the depths.
All right. That's graphic. Okay, so our sin and anger work against God's will.
Yes.
He wants us to be sort of, I don't know, calm in his presence, mm-hmm, and moving with him. What do you see in verse 21?
In verse 21, it says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But for the first part, it says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. This shows we have to clean up our act. We have to steer away from sin. And whenever we do go to sin, repent, pray again.
Good.
So that we do steer away from sin, and it goes away from us.
Okay. And so that last part of verse 21, mm-hmm, summarize that for me.
That is the, you have to accept the salvation that God has for you. When it says, receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Good.
It has the power to give us eternal life. It's like one of the motivations that we need to love God and have our faith in him.
Okay. So I'm going to brief interruption. I want to talk just for a moment. How has this endeavor of engaging in the Lord's Prayer and, you know, kind of getting into this, how has it impacted your prayer life?
It spoke to me because when I was reading it late at night, I realized, whoa, he can do all of this. He can help me steer away. Like, I realized that, but I never fully realized that. Like,
got it.
That's when my real eyes realized that he gives us all of this. He gives us the instructions, and I just now found it, and I was like, whoa, so this is all I have to do. And I thought it was simple at first, but then when I really started applying it to my life, I was like, okay, so this is going to take time. It's not just going to be like snap,
it's not,
boom.
It's not a magic wand, right? Okay. And what has sort of helped your prayer life the most in this whole exercise?
Because, could you repeat the question?
So, what's helped you in your prayer life through what we've done together?
It, first of all, biggest thing, made me pray more. Like,
good.
Sometimes I would stay up late, and then I would get ready for bed, and then I would go into my bed, and then I'd just start praying. And
okay.
He wouldn't know, because Avery's usually asleep by then, so he wouldn't hear me. But it made me pray much more than I used to.
Okay.
And after that, like, my life, the temptation was going away, but there was still some there.
Sure, it's always going to be there, buddy. Yeah. We're not, well, until we get to there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the part that has meant the most to me is seeing you actually like take this seriously and engage in more active prayer. It's been fun to watch and be a part of. And then we were going to close with the ways in which you see this passage on resisting temptation. How does it tie back to the cross?
So it is, the Bible is this, the main part of the Bible is the redemption of God, Him dying for us and saving us from sin, giving us eternal salvation if we were to accept Him and have our faith in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, He took all the negative consequences. He took all the sin, all the pain. He suffered on the cross. He bled everywhere. He did all of that for us, dirty sinners that did not deserve it. But since He loved us, we were His prized possession and creation. He decided to die for us.
Good. And so you saw that in verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read just that last phrase in verse 21 for us again?
Receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Okay. And so you were sort of linking that to, like, there's this whole passage about resisting temptation, where temptation comes from, where it doesn't come from. And then he says, receive with meekness the implanted word that's able to save your souls. And you kind of were able to say, yeah, that's kind of taken us back to the cross.
Yes.
Why is that important to return to the cross?
Because whenever you sin and fall into temptation, you go back to the cross to repent.
Okay. And what happens there when you do that?
You become purified. All your sins are washed away. What you did 5 minutes ago is washed away.
Okay. And then, so you have these two components that you picked up on in verse 21. You know, Jesus is that implanted word. He's the one.
Yes.
And we return to that cross. You know, it's, how do I say this? I want to be encouraging that your faith over time can actually improve your capacity to resist temptation through prayer.
Yes.
And discipline and God's word, etc. But if you're like me, you're going to continue to sin, and you're going to need to do what?
To repent.
To repent and come back to that cross. Anything else you want to say about that before we conclude? I think you nailed it.
He gives us the positive consequences whenever He dies. He gives us grace, forgiveness, blessing, and a feeling of belonging, that we
okay.
belong with God because He's the one that died for us. He's the one that made us feel loved and important.
Good.
In the end.
Good. And you had talked a little bit, we had talked about the idea that this is a war, and that,
yes.
that the war was won on the cross. But the battles go on internally. Talk about that a little bit.
You just have to fight all that sin inside you because that battle already won. You just have to do what God has given you the instructions to do in the Bible, and you have to repent. You have to steer away from sin. You have to praise the Lord. You have to do mainly all the things in the Lord's Prayer whenever you do pray to repent. And whenever we do, we have to return when we fall. That's like the main message. Return back whenever you fall to temptation and sin.
Turn back to the cross.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Do you want to close us in prayer or do you want to make me do that?
I guess I can do it.
All right. All right. If you fall off the stool, I'll cover it. All right.
Dear Lord, we bless all these people in this room. We hope that they have an amazing day. We hope that you shine them in your light. And whenever they fall into temptation, you show them the way. They repent. They do all the things they need to do in order to come back to you, dear Lord. And we pray for Deb Lawler and her fighting her bronchitis infection. We pray that she has the strength to battle and combat that and win over it as you won over sin and temptation on the cross. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Thank you. Well done. All right.
So what happens now?
You can go sit down for a minute. We come this morning to the Lord's table, the table that is set before us, his prized possessions, that we may return to the nourishment of the cross, to find there the renewal and grace that we are so in need of. As Alistair mentioned, this is the place that we are to return. We are to find here grace and forgiveness eternal. I'm going to read some words before I pray, and I want you to invite these words into your hearts. Let them give shape to your approach to the Lord's table today. And then I'll pray, and then you'll be invited to come forward and partake as well. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And of course, the whole point of this table is that all of God's judgment and wrath toward the sin of his children were taken by Christ on the cross. You are forgiven. You are free. You are invited to come to this table in freedom and grace. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we invite you into this moment, that you would take this bread and wine, set it apart from its common use, and use these elements for our spiritual renewal, to remind us of how precious we are in your eyes, of the extent to which you were willing to go to bring about our redemption. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us into your will. We pray all of these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. I should remind you, this is not Hope Church's table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is open to all of those for whom he has died for the forgiveness of their sins. When you are ready, come forward as an individual, as a couple, as a family, however you wish, and partake of the Lord's table today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but a commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling.
Broken. swept o'er some foul dark spot. An only stream of blood can wash away the blood. 'Tis Jesus' blood that washes white.
Please stand with us.
The spotless.
Yes, and amen. Well, there's something God wants you to take with you from this place today. It is his blessing. He offered this set of words over his people the very first time they gathered in worship. And these words have been echoing over the hearts of God's people ever since, because these are words from your Creator, your Sustainer, your Redeemer, the one who loves you, who wants you to live in a way that reflects who he is to the world. Will you take these words of blessing into your hearts and let them flow out from you into the world around you this week? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May you go in his peace.